The Venerable Charles Hudson has returned. He's going to pray with us this morning and he's going to take our service. Thank you.
Just one thing, really, by way of an announcement from me, is just to update you on the progress of the process of appointing a new incumbent. I'm afraid that we had two applicants that we had invited to interview, which would have been on Monday. But I'm very sorry to say that both of them, for different reasons and both unconnected to you as a parish, decided to withdraw from the interview. So very disappointingly, we don't have interviews on Monday as we had planned. We are have a meeting as the panel on Monday to work out how we'll move forward. But obviously, with that news in mind, please do just continue to pray if that's okay for the process and for the right person to be appointed. And in the meantime, thank you so much to all of you. I know in the midst of a vacancy, it's a lot of work for everybody. So on behalf of Bishop Allen, Bishop Jane and myself, thank you for everything that all of you are doing to continue to sustain the life of the parish. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, raise us who trust in him from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, that we may seek those things which are above, where he reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. So now may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Let's spend a few moments looking at that gospel reading from John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Personally, I don't know any shepherds, real shepherds, at first hand. Most of what I think I know about shepherds comes from watching a programme called One Man and His Dog as a boy. Usually when there was nothing else to watch on TV. For those of you who don't remember, there used to be a set time in the day when there was kids' programmes on, and the rest of the day there was nothing. And so you just had to watch the other thing, which in this case was One Man and His Dog. You remember all that? Away, ship! Come by! I mean, it was bizarre, but it was incredibly watchable, wasn't it? Usually the sheep would run off in crazy directions and the poor shepherd would be trying to get them to do something else. But in most ages and in most parts of the world, the figure of a shepherd is a very familiar one. I once visited a place called Lake Tekapo, which is in the middle of the South Island of New Zealand. And there are an estimated 30 million sheep in New Zealand, seven times more than there are people. So they know a thing or two about taking care of sheep. And so on the edge of this azure glacial lake, surrounded by mountains, there's this little stone chapel, and it's called the Church of the Good Shepherd. And it's incredibly moving to stand there and to think that these people, who know quite a bit about taking care of sheep, have found it true in their experience, so true that they've named that church the Church of the Good Shepherd, that Jesus is a shepherd like that to them too. And all through the Old Testament, God is spoken of as a shepherd of his people, Israel, in the book of Genesis, in the Psalms, in Isaiah and Jeremiah, Hosea, Micah and Zechariah. For example, in chapter 34 of the book of Ezekiel, we read, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord." And the particular experience that gives rise to this image of for the people of Israel is the memory of their miraculous escape from Egypt in the Exodus and the subsequent wanderings in the desert for 40 days and 40 years in the wilderness of Sinai before they came into the promised land. In Psalm 78 we read, "He brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness." In delivering and providing for them for those 40 years in the wilderness, God proved himself to be their shepherd. And of course, as we have just sung, there is Psalm 23, where there's something distinctive, even unique in the whole of the Old Testament. The psalmist writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." Not just the Lord is a shepherd, or the shepherd, or the shepherd of Israel, or even in a general sense, our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Nowhere else in the Old Testament is that said. He is a personal God. He is your God. He is my God. And it's against that backdrop that Jesus, in our reading from John's Gospel, identifies himself as the good shepherd. And he develops that image in three distinct and striking ways. First, the image of the caring and devoted shepherd is extended to include a willingness to die for the sheep. This dimension is entirely new to the shepherd image in the Old Testament, even in Psalm 23. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The unique and central character of Jesus' embodiment of the image of the shepherd and his care for his sheep is his death on the cross for us all. There, in that act, we see the true depth of his love for us personally. The second way he extends it is about knowledge. Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." This mutual relationship of knowledge and trust between the shepherd and sheep is compared to that between the Father and the Son. And just as in the farewell discourses in the Last Supper, there's the mutual indwelling of the Father and the Son, mirrored, echoed by the indwelling of Jesus in his followers. Jesus' love is not an abstract, generalized love. In the same way that he knows the Father and the Father knows him, we too can know him and be known by him as well. And thirdly and finally, Jesus speaks of the sheep that are not of his fold. That is, not part of the Old Testament people of God. Verse 16, "I have others that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also." All people now, all people, including you and me, amazingly have been drawn into this relationship with Jesus through the cross to know him and to be known by him. Before I was a Christian, I had a girlfriend who was. And I can still remember my amazement the day that she told me she had a personal relationship with Jesus. It was one of the weirdest things I had ever heard. I think I said something like, do you mean like an imaginary friend? And we had quite a difficult day after that. Except that billions of people around the world would say that they share that experience of knowing Jesus and being known by him. And for the last 30 years of my life, I have been one of those people too. It's an experience that begins now, even in the humdrum, the challenges, the sadnesses of life, and which goes on forever into eternity. In the catacombs in Rome, where the early Christians hid from savage persecution, they painted pictures on the wall. And some of those very early pictures are of Jesus as a shepherd among his sheep. They did it because, unbelievable as it might seem, they experienced his protection and care, even as they were being handed over to be tortured and killed. But even more than that, they knew that he would guide them to everlasting life, where no enemy could touch them anymore. St. Paul, writing to the Romans in similar circumstances, says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor things present or the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So may we now continue to grow in our knowledge of the one who is the Good Shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep on the cross, and the one who takes it up again in his glorious resurrection and lives forever, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. A final prayer of blessing. Jesus Christ, who out of defeat brings new hope and a new future, fill you with his new life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.